Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson. Thank you for joining us today on the show. We have a good topic we're going to discuss today because a lot of times I run into Christians and the first question I give them is, what is sin? Because they start telling me about the law was nailed to the cross and all of this. So I say, well, what is sin? And when we think about that question, that's what we're going to discuss on today's show. And you could hear my show at this time every week, either on the radio or the internet, depending where you're listening to. And I'm excited to be here to be able to give this information to everybody because I don't hear a lot of places talking about these topics. But the question is, so what is sin? And we discuss a lot of times on this show about the Torah, which is we discussed last week, which is the often mistakenly called the law. But what it is, Torah is guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And according to the Bible, in 3 John 1:2, it says sin is transgression of the Torah, or lawlessness, or transgression of what people today call the law, or the guidelines and instructions. So living against the guidelines and instructions, known as the Torah, which many people mistakenly call law, living against that is sin. So that's the definition of sin. So when we think about that and we think about how we act or what we do, and that's what the Torah, the guidelines and instructions tells us what we're sinning. I did another talk about it being our schoolmaster. So how do we know we're sinning unless we don't know what sin is? So we have to know what sin is. So I'm quick to let people know what sin is. And yes, okay, we all sin. And I've done other programs on, well, does grace and mercy cover all sin? Well, it says in Hebrews 10:26. And 27, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. So I've been saved and I got the guidelines and instructions and I'm doing my best to keep them. And if I miss the mark, even though my heart's desire was to keep them, but I missed the mark, yes, the grace and mercy will cover me. But it says right here in Hebrews, if we willfully sin. So we know what right and wrong is, but we purposely do what is wrong. Over and over again, it says, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, after our eyes have been opened, it says there remains no more sacrifice for sins. And this goes right along with what it says in Matthew 7:22-28, where it says, not everyone will say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom into heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So that is Torah. It says, but he that does Torah. So not everyone that gives me lip service and proclaims me with their lips, but those that actually do. So it says, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And that is Torah. Oh, many people call that the law. It says, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in the name and the name and cast out devils and the name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I did not know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Because these people were not following the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. They were living in sin, making a practice of these things. 1 John 5:3 says, loving our Creator means keeping His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Okay? So that's what we're going to talk about here. Because when we think about that, loving our Creator means keeping His commandments. Now, many people say, well, we don't have to keep the commandments of our Creator anymore. They're done away with, or they're nailed to the cross, or something to this effect. Well, does that mean there's no opportunity to love our Creator anymore if it says in 1 John 5:3, loving Him means to keep His commandments? So does that mean we no longer need to keep His commandments if we no longer could love Him? No, that does not what it means. It means we have a great opportunity to do His will, as it says in Matthew 7, which we just read, to do His will. And that is love. It's keeping His will, His guidelines and instructions, His Torah, His law, His commandments. And the second part of that went on to say, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. And some translations will say, His commandments are not grievous. And that means they're not too heavy for us. He'll never give us something to do that we can't accomplish. So we keep that in mind for those of you that say, well, we can't do these things. The only commandments we can't keep are the ones that don't apply to us today. And the ones that don't apply to us today are the ones that nobody can keep. You know, there's no temple. We can't make sacrifices. I'm a man. I can't keep commandments about women. I'm not a farmer. I don't have a farm. I can't keep commandments about farm animals. But we do our desire to keep the commandments that we can accomplish. That's what we need to be doing. And if we love him, we're going to do them. And he's not going to give us a commandment to do or a guideline or instruction to do that's going to be so hard to accomplish that we can't accomplish it. We can accomplish it. Matthew 7:13 says, you can enter the kingdom or Yahweh's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and his gate is wide for many to choose that way. So when we think about this, we think about a narrow path and a wide path. Matthew 7:14 goes on to say, but the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only few will ever find it. So now we're talking about a wide path of unrighteousness, of people living in sin and loving it, making a practice out of it. The world is on this wide path, but it says it's the narrow gate, that the narrow path that leads to that narrow gate. The narrow path, and it goes on to say that road is a difficult road. So the wide road is the easy road. The narrow path is the difficult road. Well, that narrow gate that it leads to is Yeshua. And that narrow road that's going to get us there is Torah, is his guidelines and instructions, is the lifestyle that we choose to live. Now, I know what some people might think because I thought the same thing. It says, well, didn't it say the commandment shall not be burdensome? And here it's saying that keeping Torah or keeping the guidelines and instruction is difficult. How could that be? When we think about this, we have to look at difficult versus burdensome or difficult versus grievous. When we think about this, we think about what's being taught out there and what people are doing, what's difficult and what's burdensome or what's difficult and what's grievous. And we understand the path to righteousness, the path to follow our wonderful Messiah Yeshua is not always easy, but it would never be too difficult or too heavy that we cannot accomplish these things. He's given us this path and opened up our eyes, but he knows we can deal with it. And he's never going to make it too hard for us to keep the commandments. But it won't be easy, but we can still do it. That's the key here. That's the key. We got to put the effort in. So we understand the path is difficult, but the burdensome will never be too heavy for us that we cannot do it. Now, when we think about the commandments, here's the real problem we have, folks. We have the church today, and even the non-church, even the non-believers today, that look at the common moral laws of this world today about bearing false witness, committing adultery, stealing. I mean, most people in the world today will consider those bad things. They will consider those evil, or they won't consider anything to do with those things a good thing. I say most people, you know, and there's no denomination I know of out there that would teach people against those things or not to do those things, because it's commonly known, adultery and lying and stealing and these things are just bad all around. Well, the scriptures talk about them being bad in the first six commandments or the last six commandments. It talks about these things being bad. The problem is the first four commandments. This is the issue. Because these 10 commandments are being taught, but when it comes to the first four commandments, what's being taught is that they've been nailed to the cross, and we no longer need to keep them, and no longer needs to apply to us. And there lies the problem, folks. The first four commandments. So as you're thinking about this, we think about the last commandments. We see, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. Well, most of those, except maybe the last one, most people, they understand that these things aren't something that should be done. But what about the first four? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of our Creator in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now I will submit to you that even though the church doesn't necessarily teach these last commandments here that we spoke about, the last six commandments, Even though they don't talk about that, mention that, because everyone commonly knows that they're okay to do. It's the first four commandments that the church actually teaches against and tells people to break and go against. Now, let me let you know that there's more than 10 commandments, folks, that we need to be keeping today, that we need to strive and do our best to accomplish. There's more than 10. There's not only 10 commandments. There's over 600 commandments. And for those of you that say, well, that's just too many, and I say, well, there's more laws and ordinances of your local government that you follow at no problem. So before you think you can't do it, I'm telling you it's very easy, because our Creator said it will not be burdensome to accomplish them or fulfill them. So it says, you know, so the first four is what the church is teaching against here, mostly. And that is the issue. The first one we see, it says, you know, I am the Creator, your Elohim. I am God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Well, we could just look at people's actions. It says a person, their actions are known by their heart. And we could see people are putting things priority-wise before our Creator. In the time they give Him, in the things they worship, in the things they do. It's all over. It's rampant. And the church is the leading place of this. People are making many false gods, and they're not looking to the true God. They're not running to the true Creator. And that is a tremendous problem today. And the church just goes right along with that and tells people, oh, you know, we don't have to follow the commandments, and we don't got to keep the guidelines and instructions, because we're not under the law. But when it comes to this, you shall have no other gods before me. They never rebuke it. They actually support it. Support people having more gods or worshiping things instead of worshiping our Creator first, prioritizing. You just look at the turn on sports, and you can look at 50,000 people at a football game dancing and screaming, and you can't even get a couple of people in the church to get up out of their seat during worship. So we see what's more important to people, or what's motivating people, or what's happening here. The next one says, you shall not make for yourself a carved in image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I am your Creator, Elohim, Yahweh, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. So go look at that verse in Exodus 20, and look at the last sentence. Showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So not just those that love me, but those that love me and keep my commandments. But going back to what it says, you shall not make for yourself carved images or likeness of anything. And you go around and you see the things that people are worshiping image-wise, the things, the posters that people have on their walls, the pictures people have in their houses, and just all the stuff that people are worshiping, and the idols that people are bowing down to, literally bowing down to these things and making these things more important than our Creator. And we see the issue we have today. Then we look at the third commandment. You shall not take the name of your Creator, Yahweh, in vain. For Yahweh will not hold them guiltless who takes His name in vain. I mean, I could just walk down the street and there are believers and non-believers, you know, cursing the name or using the name in vain. But there are people that don't even know the name. Most people don't even know the name of our Creator, Yahweh. But they still have an issue. They're still taking a name in vain. They're still not respecting it. It's still not become holy. And that's another commandment that's not taught. It's actually taught against, not taught to support. And then the most common one, the most common commandment in all of Scripture that's actually spoken about more than any other commandment of all the 613 commandments is the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of our Creator Yahweh. In it you shall do no work, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days, says Yahweh, made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all this from them. And he rested on the seventh day. And therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so many people here today on a regular basis will break this commandment. blatantly break this commandment and on a regular basis. And some will excuse it to say, well, Sunday's my Sabbath, but they still break it on Sunday because they're doing a lot of work, a lot more work than they should be doing. And you see, folks, that is the problem. You know, if most people call me a legalist for saying this information, oh, you're a legalist, we don't got to keep the commandments. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It says, those who love me, I give my mercy. Those who love me, you know, and keep my commandments. Folks, underline that word keep. And you could also look in Leviticus where it says, do not add or take away from my instructions, but keep them. See, folks, we keep the guidelines and instructions, not to be saved, but because we are saved. That should be our desire. We gotta rebuke the church for teaching us against that. For saying, oh, you know, you have an excuse, you could live in sin. If sin's transgression of the law and they say we're no under the law, that's saying, oh, it's okay to sin. And that's what most churches are out there teaching today. And that's the big problem we have. And that's why I wanted to have this show, to let people know this truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Well, the way, the truth, and the light. This is it. You know, Yeshua said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from the sin. You know, and that's what's happening. People are using Yeshua's death as an excuse to live in sin. And we have tremendous problem out there. The first thing I teach people, folks, is we can never forget that Yeshua died for us, and we never deserved his death. Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, died for us. Taking on him our death sentence that was for us and set us free. Hallelujah, we can never ever forget that. We're saved by the gift that we never deserved, and that's the only way we have any chance of salvation. We can't work our way to that, but once we're there, we have to understand a covenant is now taking place. He says, I will set you free. But to keep this, you need to love me and keep my commandments. I'm not setting you free so you can go out there and live in sin like the world. I'm setting you free so you can go out there and be set apart. That's what it's about. So to be set free, so I'm in jail and now I'm set free and now I'm gonna go out into the world and I'm gonna live in a way that's against the very being that set me free. The very creator that set me free, I'm gonna go in, and it's like spitting in his face to say, well, I'm set free now, so I don't gotta listen to him. No, he says, I'm going to set you free, but please follow these guidelines and instructions so you don't end up back here on death row. That's what he's saying. And that's what you're agreeing to when you say, I will do all the things I won't add or take away, but I'll keep his guidelines and instructions. They were never changed. They were never dummied down. We're not to add or take away, but we are to keep them. If somebody calls you a legalist for keeping the guidelines and instructions, as long as you know Yeshua comes first, more important than anything, we can't work our way to be saved, but you keep those guidelines and instructions because you love him and you're thankful for the gift he gave you through salvation. If anyone calls you a legalist because you're keeping the commandments so well, you take that as a compliment. You know, it's when people start telling you, oh, you look just like the world, you act just like the world. You sin just like the world. Then you need to worry. Then you need to fear. But that's the problem right there. We fear the world more than we fear our Creator. We need to get right with His Word, folks, if He wants us to be right with Him. And the church today, sorry to say, is not teaching us this truth. John 14:15 in the Scriptures says it quite well. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a commandment. You want a New Testament commandment right there? If you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, it's so clear. And some people say, well, there's different commandments. He came and he took the commandments and he changed them away. No, he didn't. You know, it didn't say he took the old ones away and gave you a new set of commandments. No, it says he renewed them. They were so important, he took them off paper and put them on your heart. He didn't do away with them. He said, no, keep these, and they need to be on your heart. You need to know them by heart. That's how important they are. You know, he restored. He didn't destroy and give you something new. He made it that much more important. And for those of you that say, oh, well, you know, it's too hard to keep the commandments, or we can't keep the commandments, I'll submit to you that when Yeshua came, he made it even more difficult. You know, he raised the bar. He didn't lower the bar and throw the bar away like people claim. Example, adultery. He didn't say just adultery was sin. He said to even think about adultery is sin. You know, so if you're one of those people that make that excuse to say, well, Yeshua came with some new commandments, well, you know, that's, you know, even more difficult to follow. But still, our Creator says, my commandments will not be burdensome. They will not be too heavy to accomplish. And folks, we're going to miss the mark because we're not perfect. But His mercy is extended to those who love Him and keep His commandments. So remember that. We love Him and we keep His commands. And somebody might say, well, can we love Him and not keep His commandments? Yeah, there are many people in the church today that are deceived to think they don't have to keep the commandments, but they still love Him. They're just deceived by the enemy. They're just deceived and brainwashed by Christianity and the Catholic Church. But of course they love Him. Many of them will put their lives on the line for Him. But they're not keeping His commandments because they're deceived. But He says, my mercy is extended to those who love me and I got to underline, highlight that word, and keep my commandments. Those that make a practice out of living in sin, your life will be a sinful life. Those that understand 1 John 3:4 says sin is transgression of the law. Well, those of you will say, I don't want to live in sin. You know, I want to be set free from that. And you have that great opportunity by following His word, His guidelines and instructions. That was step four. When it says in Timothy, all scripture is profitable for man. Guess what? There was no New Testament. He was talking about the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. All of it is profitable for man for us to read. So we need to get right with this message and understand this, folks, because, you know, time is running out and we're getting closer to the end. You know, we want to be righteous in His eyes. We don't want Him to say, like we said in Matthew, get away from me, I did not know you. No, that's the last thing we want to hear. Get away from me, I did not know you. No, we want to hear, well done, good servant. Well, what you do so well? You followed His instructions. You kept His guidelines and instructions. That's what you did. You know, if Yeshua was here, back then they were saying Yeshua wasn't doing enough. If He was here today, they would call Him a legalist. You know, but it says, you know, they will hate you because of me. As it says, you know, it will be difficult, but the burdensome, it wouldn't be too heavy. They will hate you because of me. Folks, and I get hated by telling people the truth. I tell people all the time, you know, we got to aspire to keep these commandments. Somebody said, oh, you know, we got grace. You know, grace isn't an excuse to live in sin, folks. Grace and mercy are extended to those that have a desire to follow our Creator's instructions. Get that right. Understand that. Go read your Bibles for yourself and stop listening to what they're telling you in the church. You know, read it for yourself to confirm what they're saying is even correct. Because many of them are leading you astray. They'll say in the church, well, we don't need to keep the commandments. They're nailed to the cross. By the way, all of them except that tithing one are nailed to the cross. Now it's time to give your tithe. No, folks, it says in the scriptures, if you keep my guidelines and instructions, do not add or take away, but keep them, and you follow them, you have that desire to do so, all will be well with you. How many of you want all to be well with you, folks? You have that great opportunity. It doesn't say some will be well with you. All will be well with you according to our Creator's guidelines and instructions. That's what we need to get right with. That's what we need to be. We got to be right in our Creator's eyes, not some person in church that's telling you to do things that go against it. You know, the church is telling people to live in sin. That's what they're telling them. 1 John 3:4 again. Sin is living lawlessly. It's living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. They teach you not even to read the Old Testament anymore. That's not important. We got a New Testament that did away with the Old Testament. That is a lie. That is a lie, folks. That is a lie. The Old Testament is our schoolmaster. And even though it says in the times to come, the commandments will be on our heart and we'll automatically be living these commandments out. Well, that's not there yet. We're not doing that yet, folks. We need to study the Word. We need to learn the Word. We need to teach the Word to each other. So we stay in the Word to lift people up. We need to judge people to lift them up and not tear them down. Righteously judge them. The things we're struggling with, well, we ask for help and pray for help. But the things we've overcome, the things we struggled, we go and help others who are having those struggles. That's the guidelines and instructions that we need to understand. Yeshua didn't come to rebuke the Pharisees who knew the guidelines and instructions, the Torah, the commandments, the law. No, it was their attitude towards them. That's the issue He had with them. You know, but He says, go and make disciples. You're not going to go out there and tell people, well, now that you've accepted Yeshua with your lip service, you don't have to do anything else. No, you're going to say, look, this isn't the end. This is the beginning. Now that you've done this, now that you've chosen this narrow path, to go to that narrow gate. This is just the beginning of the things that are to come. And it's not going to be easy. It will be difficult. But the burdensome will not be too heavy. It will not be too grievous. We can accomplish this. We have the opportunity. And the times we mess up, we have the grace and the mercy of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. Hallelujah means praise Yahweh. Praise our wonderful creator, folks. I want you to take this message seriously, folks. You can go to my website at TorahLifeMinistries.org and see a whole bunch of videos about these type of topics. If you have any comments or questions, you may go to this website as well and look up these topics. If you want more messages, every week I'm on the radio in South Florida at 11:30 a.m. Or you could find me wherever you're listening to this over the internet. I'm usually on the same time every week. I'm not doing this stuff because I don't have anything else to do, folks. I'm doing this to let you know the way, the truth, and the light, and that is Yeshua. And Yeshua went and he told people, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my guidelines and instructions and know what they are. And no, they don't stop at 10. There's not just 10 commandments. And it's not dummy down to 2 commandments. But follow, read the first 5 books of your scriptures so you understand, you know what the commandments are, and have joy in knowing you're following those guidelines and instructions. And as he says in his word, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. Folks, let's stick to his plan and get off our own plan, because his ways are better than our ways. Even though it says in the scriptures, a way before each person, it seems right, but ends in death. We're all going to die, folks, physically, but he's not talking about a physical death. He's talking about a spiritual death. We need to get right with his word. We need to follow his word, seek his word. As I say, those that seek me will find me. Those that seek me will desire to keep my guidelines and instructions and get all the blessings that come along with that. They wouldn't desire to live and use my death as an excuse to live in sin. That's what he's telling us over and over again in the scriptures. And we have a wonderful opportunity to get this right. You have an opportunity to get this right because there's still time left. We're still here. But time is running out, folks. And you need to do something about this and stop putting this off. You need to question your pastors. You need to question your church. You need to question your friends. You need to question your fellowship. And you need to talk to them about these things. And if they tell you something that goes against what the scriptures say, you need to get away from those people. And you need to find some righteous brother to stay with and fellowship with. Hallelujah. Thank you for checking me out, everybody. Have a great day, and shalom, shalom.